This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
I'm going horse-sized duck.
No way.
Yep.
No way. Yeah, I'm going with the 100.
100 duck-sized horses.
Duck-sized horses, yeah.
Or one horse-sized duck.
Nah, that duck is very crafty, man.
I think I could get on the duck's back somehow.
A horse-sized duck? Good luck with that. There's no way he's going to let you get on his back. No way.
Ride the duck.
He's going to beat you to death.
Affleck.
No chance. Affleck is going to whoop your ass.
This is DCR.
All it takes is like 10, 20 of those little tiny horses.
Once they get you on the mat, you're done.
I'm not going to get on the mat, Dave. I'm going to pull off a Lawrence Tynes. I'm going to punt those suckers all over the place.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, I'm going to take my horse to the old town road. I'm going to...
Nice, Santy. It's the big 7 o'clock hour. DCR with you on 98.7 ESPN. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests on the show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Rick, you might be the worst, most sore loser I've ever met in my life. You're not going to talk to me?
No,
now?
I told you, I'm done. I'm done.
He's laying out for the rest of the show.
You are such. People don't realize what a baby you are.
This is going to be the DRC, different DRC. It's going to be Dave, Rosenberg, and Canty.
Yeah.
Now, why? I'm a baby. You're a baby. You know what you're upset with? You're upset with yourself.
Yes, I'm upset with myself.
Yeah. Well, don't take it out on me. Don't take it out on Chris.
And I'm Googling where to buy bobcats.
What are you going to start battling bobcats?
No, I'm going to release bobcats at your house. I'm going to strategically wait until you leave the house, and I'm releasing multiple bobcats.
Multiple bobcats. Just because I beat you and get to know your co-host.
Yep. And then you got, but then your reaction.
Yep.
Well, not that you just beat.
Yep.
Well, Rick, Dave has the labs to defend him now.
No, I don't think they could. No.
They couldn't do anything, Dave?
They're 9 pounds. No, they can't walk downstairs yet. I don't think they'd do well against the bobcats.
No. Well, at least they can get in the way, Dave.
That's true.
They can get in the way and let you get away from the bobcats.
That 100%. The bobcat can take them before they take me. That is true. I don't have
you lose all respect from the family, though.
Your kids would stop talking.
If you purposely tripped Barkley or Sammy so the bobcat got the dog, you'd be dead to your family.
Over me? I think my kids would prefer I come back in full health than the dogs.
No, there's an expectation that you protect
right?
The family. There's an expectation you protect the family.
I would do my best, but if it got to the point where we went too far, I would run in the house and leave the dogs out there for lunch. And I like the dogs, but I'm not out of my mind.
So
crazy.
If the alligator came to get the dog, you're not diving into the pond for the dogs.
No way.
No shot.
No way. No way. Not like that guy.
Okay. Nope. So the kids know that going in.
Damn alligator bit my hand.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like we had this conversation when we picked the dogs up. No. Like, Dad, listen. If an alligator were to attack the dogs, would you protect the dogs or would you run inside? I'm running inside. I'm running inside.
Take it. Take it.
You're a bad guy. Those are like your kids. You're supposed to protect your kids.
Listen, you know, anybody that says that animals are like their kids, no, they're not. They're not like my kids. My kids, I would do it. My kids, if there was 100 duck-sized horses, a horse-sized duck, an alligator, a Tyrannosaurus Rex, I'm fighting it. Uh-oh. But not the dogs. I'm not doing the same thing for the dogs. And you wouldn't either.
How dare you? If I had a dog, I would protect it with my life.
You should get a dog, just so we can go through this.
I'm not getting a dog. No, I have a baby. It's the same thing. But my baby, Rocco probably sleeps less than the dogs sleep.
I don't know about that. They're up at 4:15 this morning.
He was up at 1:50 this morning.
Oh, that's terrible. Mm.
Yeah, perfectly. Just 10 minutes right before the alarm. Awesome.
But that's ideal for you. You get up, you tend to Rocco, and then you start your day.
It's ideal. Yeah, waking up at 1:50 is ideal.
Nothing
just
about that is ideal. Nothing.
Just what you want.
Just what you're not looking for, exactly. All right, let's get to a couple of these calls. And then I stumbled upon, because I'm always doing research for the show, I stumbled upon this great NFL GM ranking, which we'll get to in just a couple moments. Let's go to Keith in Union. Keith, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I just wanted to say, in regards to Lawrence's comments, I just feel that him having the comfort, him and his dad having the comfort to say those comments and it not impact his status in the draft is interesting, because if it was a black quarterback that said that, they always act like they're too distracted, they got things that they want to worry about, and all of this other stuff. And it could have been any other position. But for him, it seems like everybody's, oh, I don't think it's anything. I think everybody thinks it's nothing. I find that interesting.
Nah, Keith, well, the guys on the K-Show didn't think it was nothing. Like, Michael and Don had an issue with Trevor Lawrence, what he said and what his dad said. So I don't think that it's everybody saying that it's not nothing, but I just don't think this is one of those things that you can put too much stock in. I don't think this is, you know, this is indicative of what kind of player Trevor Lawrence is going to be at the next level. I don't think anything that he said is a red flag in terms of him not being able to live up to the potential that everybody is saying that this kid has. I just don't. I don't see it that way.
Yeah, and as far as what he said, as opposed to, I mean, for example, what's going on with Justin Fields, I don't know how much of what was leaked out for Dan Orlovsky to regurgitate about Justin Fields was to manipulate where Justin Fields was going to be drafted. Like, I mean, there's a lot of lying going on right now.
100%.
Like, you put stories out like that just so you hope that, you know, the guy ends up falling in the draft to where you're picking.
That's right. And we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, you see that Justin Fields is favorite to go 3 right now. Mike Tenenbaum says he has zero doubts that Mac Jones is not going to go 3.
Yeah, I mean, you really have no idea.
You have no idea. You have no idea. Let's go to Gary in Jersey City. Good morning, Gary. You're next up.
Yep. Hey, sorry. Got you on speaker.
Well, take us off speaker and
what's
and
going on, Gary?
I know, I did. No, I just wanted to say I've been a fan for a long time. I've been following you guys since you started, when they dropped Rothenberg into you guys, Mr. Rothenberg. Thought it was going to be a catastrophe. You've sort of turned into the Quint Brody and Hooper of radio, which I think is fantastic.
I got to be honest,
you guys
I don't know
do
what
a great
that means.
Job, but.
The who?
Jaws.
Oh.
Jaws.
Oh, okay. All right.
The triangulation of three people doing incredibly well together.
Well, that's very nice.
And
very
we'll
nice
figure out who gets eaten by the shark at the end.
I don't know. But, it sounds very Phil Jackson-esque.
He'll be swimming away.
Well, why would I be? Of all the people.
No,
you'll be
the guy with a gun. You'll be the guy with a gun, and I would predict that it would be DiPietro getting eaten by the shark.
No, Gary, here's what would happen. Dave would, because Dave was the captain of the ship, he would be the one with the gun. He'd shoot Chris or I and then just push us overboard.
You know what?
I'm on the ship, Omar! I'm on the ship!
Wow. Good idea.
Anyway, I just wanted to give you guys huge compliments, because I've been listening to you guys for years, and you've done a great job evolving.
And well, thank you very much. That's a very nice call. We appreciate you, Gary.
Yeah, no, it's just it's great to hear prose. But the Trevor Lawrence thing, can you imagine what it's like to be the best at what you do all the time and then have someone come in and ask you if you need to have a chip on your shoulder? It just, to me, it seems dumb. It's like if you test in the 99th percentile, and everyone is supposed to be your friend.
Yeah, but Gary, but Gary, you got to realize too. But Gary, here's the thing, and this it takes a while for you to understand this, especially when you're Trevor Lawrence's age, is that they're looking to they're not just looking to do a fluff piece on you. They're not doing that. They got exactly what they were hoping for with that question.
Oh yeah,
they
yeah.
get traction. That's right.
Exactly what they were looking for. They asked you, yeah, it seems like a stupid question, but they're hoping you answered exactly the way that Trevor Lawrence answered the question. So we can sit here and pick it apart and dissect it.
Because if he says the opposite, if he comes out and says, God, you know, losing pains me like you couldn't imagine, and all I want to do, all I do is sit home and pine to win day after day after day, nobody cares. That's
nobody.
That's a story.
No, it's because what you expect him to say. I mean, no one expected to hear this from Trevor Lawrence. And it's the truth. He gave you the truth.
He gave you an
honest
answer.
And when you actually sit back and think about it, you can't just naturally develop a chip on your shoulder if you're always great. You've never been slighted. When you've consistently been the best, where's the chip from? Because you didn't get picked on what team hasn't he been picked one of the first picks?
No, he's always been the guy. Yeah, he doesn't know the other side of it. He might learn the other side of it, though.
No, he might learn the other side of it just based on being in Jacksonville and not having the best supporting cast. But here's the thing, man, and fans got to understand this. Like, it's not always about having a chip on your shoulder to be able to motivate yourself. Like, the other guys are motivated in other ways. Like, it's just with Trevor Lawrence, it sounds like he knows he's a gifted athlete. He knows he's really, really talented, and he wants to maximize his potential. That's what drives him. That's what pushes him every single day to work hard. Like, I just think that people think that the only way to motivate yourself is by having doubters or having haters, and that's not what moves the needle for everybody. Everybody's not built the same, nor should they be. Like, just because Trevor Lawrence is not wired like Tom Brady doesn't mean he's not motivated to be the best he can be.
It doesn't. But I'm telling you, Chris, that if he doesn't play well, this will be something that's brought back up. You're right. There's nothing wrong with it right now. But if there's a reason to pile on at some point, this will be something that's revisited.
No, you're right about that, Dave. Like, this is one of those things where people would look at if he doesn't have success, if he ends up being a bust, if it's more Jamarcus Russell than it is, you know, one of those other guys like John Elway. Like, it just that's what people will point to. People
right.
will say, you know what, the guy really didn't care about football. He really didn't love football. He had
exactly
a motivator true. Cuff issue.
Exactly.
But I don't think that's going to be the case with Trevor Lawrence.
I don't think so either. I think it's going to be great. All right. So there's a ranking of the top general managers in the NFL. Have either of you seen this? Be honest.
I haven't seen it. I didn't even know. You know Chris saw it.
Chris Googled it. You're looking at it, aren't you?
I was talking about it with the guys behind the glass in between the break.
All right.
What do you want from me?
Why even ask the question, though, Dave? You set yourself up for disappointment every time you ask that question.
You know what?
Just assume he's seen it.
When I teased it earlier in the show, RJ was like, you know what? I'm really excited about this. And I said, you know, I shouldn't have said anything because I could have caught them off guard. But I wanted to at least give you guys a little bit of prep time to think about it. So here's how it works. They list the top GMs, but some of the guys are not on the list. So all the new GMs are off the list. So Trent Baalke, Jaguars, Andrew Berry, Browns, Nick Caserio, Texans, Joe Douglas, Jets, Terry Fontenot, Falcons, Brad Holmes, Lions, George Payton, Broncos, and whatever Washington has going there. None of those teams are on the list. So there's 23 to choose from. 23 to choose from. Who would you guys say is considered the top GM? Or I guess we'll just look to you, Rick, because Chris cheated. The top GM on the list.
Now, let me ask you a question. When they, like, how recently have they just started?
2015.
Like, oh, since 2015.
Since went back 2015. They went back to 2015.
Because if you're just talking GMs about right now, I mean, if this was something they just said, okay, just recently, who's the best GM?
From 2015.
From 2015.
Top GM.
Who?
AFC.
It's an AFC team?
AFC.
God, the GMs in the AFC East have been great.
It's not an AFC East GM.
Is this it? AFC.
There's a tie into your New York Jets here with this this team.
Of course it is. It's the Colts.
Yeah, it's the Colts. Chris Ballard is considered the top GM in the entire NFL. Best pick. They have best pick, worst pick. I like that also. Best pick, Quentin Nelson. Worst pick, Quincy Wilson. Number two, Kevin Colbert from the Steelers. Best pick, TJ Watt. Worst pick, Senquez Golson, whoever in the world that is. Your guy, Tampa Bay, Jason
Licked.
Light.
It's licked. Licked. Stop it.
Best pick, Tristan Wirfs. Worst pick, Vernon Hargreaves. The third.
How does that make you feel? How does that make you feel that his best pick was Tristan Wirfs?
It doesn't make me feel good.
Naturally.
We said that. Didn't we say that, though, Rick? Didn't we say that?
The second
didn't
I saw
we say
jump out
Tristan Wirfs was the best offensive lineman last year? I can remember I said it. I can remember you said it. It's unbelievable.
The second I saw that dude jump out of the pool, I was like,
yep.
Oh.
Yep, that's the guy. That's the guy. That's the guy.
Let me give you a couple more, and then we'll play the Gettleman game. Four is the Bills, Brandon Bean. Best pick, Josh Allen. Worst pick, Zay Jones. Five, Mickey Loomis down in New Orleans. Best pick, Alvin Kamara. Worst pick, Stephon Anthony. Rick Spielman with the Vikings is six. Best pick, Justin Jefferson. Worst pick, also a receiver, Laquan Treadwell. And John Robinson. Let me go through the top ten. John Robinson is seven. Best pick, A.J. Brown. Worst pick, last year's one, who's not even on the team anymore, Isaiah Wilson.
Hey.
Jerry Jones. Number eight, best pick, Dak Prescott. Who can forget his worst pick, the great Taco Charlton in 2017. John Lynch is nine. Best pick, George Kittle. Worst pick, Ruben Foster. And number 10, Brett Veach, Mahomes, and Breland Speaks. I have no idea who that is. Worst pick.
Where's the where's Telesco? Where's Gutenkut? Like, where's the Chargers have drafted really well.
Well, I don't want to give you any more because I want you to try to get Gettleman. So you have 11 through 23 available to place the Giants and Gettleman in.
He's got to be. I mean, he's got to be right down at the bottom of that list.
Well, you defend him all the time, though. Why would you say that?
It's a great point. It's a great
point. I don't
point.
Think because this is just confirming that you don't like Dave. Otherwise, I don't think you would have brought this up.
You don't think I would have done? I love lists. I absolutely would have gone with this.
Yeah,
list.
But if this proved my point, Dave Gettleman was like. At the top of this list, you wouldn't have brought it up.
Well, I think it would be a Fugazi list if it was like six.
No credibility.
It wouldn't have a lot of respectability here. So where are you putting Gettleman?
So you said 1 through 23. We did the top 10.
We did the top 10. You can go 11 through 23.
He's going to be closer to 23 than he is to 11. I'll say that Dave Gettleman is number 21.
You're good.
Close.
He's number 22. Of 23 eligible on this list. Best pick, Dexter Lawrence. Worst pick, DeAndre Baker. Do you want to read? Do you want me to read the little write-up about?
I would. Yeah.
Yes, please.
It's early, but selecting tackle Andrew Thomas at number 4 overall last year when 3 standout tackles were taken after him is a troubling sign. Meanwhile, the jury's still out on number 6 overall pick Daniel Jones. Less so for fellow 2019 first-round pick DeAndre Baker, whom the Giants traded up for, but who's no longer even on the team. It's not Saquon Barkley's fault he tore his ACL, but an offense built around him in 2018-19 had its limitations. Gettleman wants a team full of large humans who can run the ball and stop the run, an approach that's completely out of step with the current NFL. There's a ticking clock on Gettleman's plan coming together in time. So there you have Gettleman, 22 of 23. Only John Gruden and Mike Mayock are worse on this list. Josh Jacobs, their best pick. Lynn Bowden, their worst.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
We're running through the rankings from NFL.com of the GMs around the league, and 23 are eligible, and Dave Gettleman checks in at 22. I don't think it's unfair. Rick, I mean, you're kind of the guy on the outside looking in when it comes to the Giants. Would you put Gettleman higher than 22 of 23, realistically, for what he's done here so far?
For where we're at now, I think he's better. I think he's been better in free agency than he has been with the draft. I think last year what he did in free agency was great. I think it all depends on what ends up happening with Daniel Jones. If Daniel Jones turns out to be a legitimate starting quarterback, I think
that's fair.
That changes where he's ranked.
But it's still a big question mark right now.
Yeah, well, absolutely a big question mark right now. And the fact that, you get into a situation where you have the choice, it's your choice as to which offensive lineman you want to take, and you pick Andrew Thomas. I think as far as a lot of people are concerned with what you saw from Andrew Thomas, I think you would have taken Tristan Wirfs before Andrew Thomas.
If you could redo it now, you think there's any chance that the Giants take Andrew Thomas now? No, none.
But you never know with Gettleman. I mean, with Gettleman, he falls in, you know what I mean? He's full bloom love. You know what I'm saying? Like, he narrows in on a guy, and you're not going to change his mind. Like, they're not even answering phone calls with a second overall pick.
Ugh.
Not even answering phone calls.
So that's when.
To move out of 2.
To take a running back, though. To take a running back.
To take a running back.
Like, too. I can understand if you're not answering calls because you're going to take a quarterback, whether it's Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, one of those guys. But you're not answering calls because you're going to use the second overall pick on a position that most teams address when you start talking about getting to the middle rounds.
Yeah, much later in the course of the draft. All right, let me just run through a little bit of the rest of the list with you, because you mentioned Telesco with the Chargers. He's 11. His best pick, and it looks like it's going to be a great pick, Justin Herbert last year. Worst pick, Forrest Lamp. I love the worst ones. The worst ones, and I love the draft. I'm like, I don't even know who this guy is. 12 is John Schneider with the Seahawks. 13, you mentioned Brian Gutekunst of the Packers. He doesn't even have a worst pick available here. Jair Alexander is his only best pick. Duke Tobin of the Bengals is 14. Les Snead of the Rams is 15. I thought Chris Greer would have been higher on the list. He's 16. Because he drafted Tunsil and then turned them into like 9 first-round picks. So that was really well done by him and the Dolphins. I thought DaCosta of the Ravens would have been higher, too. He's 17. Bill Belichick is 18. How about that, huh? The great coach, maybe not the best GM in the world. Steve Keim, 19. Ryan Pace, 20. And Howie Roseman, 21. Gettleman, 22. And then what the Raiders have going on is 23. So there you have it. There's your list. But the Giants, 22 of 23 eligible GMs on this list. Let's go to Billy in Mount Vernon. Billy, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, fellas. I want to ask Canty a question. I just want to make a statement. I just feel like the Giants are a dumpster fire. They invest $100 million in free agents. All of those guys are coming off of injuries. You know, their offensive line is not that good. You know, they didn't rank more than 70 in PFF. And now it looks like they're going to have to take another offensive lineman, a tackle, and plug him in at guard. I mean, what do you think? I don't even think he should be on the list. Gettleman should have been fired already.
Well, I mean, listen, they got him as the second worst general manager out of the GMs that they ranked around the NFL. So, I mean, I think that's probably around the territory that Dave Gettleman needs to be in. As far as what they did this offseason, it feels a lot like what Jerry Reese did in 2016. I mean, that was Jerry Reese's last stand when he went out and spent a lot of money in free agency, big-time free agent Janoris Jenkins and Olivier Vernon and Snacks Harrison, hundreds of millions of dollars guaranteed in contracts. Like, he went out and did that because he realized he had to win. I feel like Dave Gettleman has kind of done the same thing here with the Giants, and he addressed areas of need. I don't have a problem with him going out and doing it because those players are going to help you figure out whether or not you have a quarterback. But, yeah, this is a tough spot for Dave Gettleman and for Daniel Jones this season. The one thing that makes me feel good about the direction the Giants are going in is the head coach and Joe Judge. Like, I feel like the Giants actually have a competent head coach. The way he handled the Golden Tate situation, the way he handled the Mark Colombo situation, it feels like he's a leader amongst men, and he's going to set the agenda for the organization. So I feel like this is going to be the year this whole program starts to become more of Joe Judge's thing rather than what Dave Gettleman has been doing the last 4 years, which is a good thing if you're a Giants fan.
Yeah, the moves they made, I mean, it's because Dave Gettleman is on the hot seat. I mean, you heard the owner come out. If this team doesn't improve to the point where they're competing for a playoff spot, Dave Gettleman's going to get fired.
Yeah, they have to be a pretty good team this year. If they're not at least a pretty good team, he's not going to be here next season.
Pretty good meaning winning record, right?
I would think at least 9-8, right?
Yeah, winning record. When's the last time we could say the Giants had a winning record? 2016.
You just mentioned it, 2016.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. They were good that year.
Yeah.
Yeah, paid off. You made the playoffs. Then you had the boat trip, and then it's been downhill since then.
That's right. I mean, they have not won.
Why did you have to bring that up? Why did you have to bring the boat trip up?
Karma, man.
Because he loves it.
It's a bad move.
It was a terrible move, but you love it. The fact that they went on the boat trip and the Giants turned into the Jets for a minute makes you really happy.
I still can't believe they did it. I still
can't. They shouldn't have done it. They shouldn't have done it.
Not only did they do it, they still to this day they won't admit they did anything wrong.
Had a team captain down there on the damn boat, Dave.
I mean, when we talked to Victor Cruz like last year, like, Victor, come on, just at this point, just admit it was a mistake. Nope, we would do it again. Like, come on.
And then they go to Lambeau and they do the whole like no shirt thing.
Which doesn't affect us. Why do you do that?
No wide receiver.
You're going to intimidate the Packers by going out there with no shirts on. Great job.
We're in trouble, guys. Why? Because Odell doesn't have a shirt on now and overwhelmed. Ryan and Patterson. Ryan, you're next up on 98.7.
What's up, man? How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm a little heated, though, because you guys are always talking about Saquon like he wasn't worth his second pick in the draft. I'm tired of hearing that.
He should not have been the Giants' pick.
Let me finish. When he was picked, in the second pick, I think 2018, 2017 draft, everybody was saying that was the pick.
Never.
Ryan, we never said that. Can I finish?
But here's the thing, Ryan. We're going to let you finish. You're saying things that are untrue. None of the three of us on the show wanted Saquon Barkley, but continue along.
All right, I apologize. If the three guys didn't say it, most of the fans that call in say that. And it's crazy because if they didn't pick Saquon at the second pick, everybody would have been crying. The whole state of New Jersey, the whole state of New York would have been crying. So I don't want to hear none of that about Saquon wasn't worth the second pick. Yes, he was.
I'm so angry at you, Ryan. 3 years later, the guy has listen, let's be fair. Statistically, and what he's done has not done what you hoped he would, and you still stand by that pick, 2 overall?
Yes, he rushed for...
Oh, my God.
Hold on. He rushed for 1,200 yards, I think, his first year. His second year, he got hurt. I think he missed 4 games. He still rushed for 1,000 yards. He got hurt his third season. This is his fourth year.
But here's the thing, though. Talent-wise, you can't make an argument. Talent-wise, he's through the roof talented. But you just made our point for us. Why you don't spend the second overall pick on a running back is for what you just mentioned. Good first year,
back.
Hurt year two, and then hurt year three. And you needed a quarterback. They were fooling themselves. They needed a quarterback, and it was a quarterback draft.
Or you move back, you stockpile picks for the future, and you take Quentin Nelson. You don't do what they did.
But Dave, Rick is absolutely right. That was a draft where the Giants needed a quarterback. And John Mara, in his criticisms of Dave Gettleman and what the program has done the last few years, he actually went on the record and said, we made some miscalculations on where our team was at in 2018. I know he's not putting a name on it, but that's him admitting we did the wrong thing with the second overall pick. We shouldn't have took a running back when we had to rebuild and find somebody other than Eli Manning to play quarterback.
But you know what makes me so angry, Chris? You know what makes me angrier than anything with this? Is that you knew it, and I knew it, and Rick knew it. And we sat here saying it, and people, oh, Barkley's so good, he's going to change things. And let's be fair, as good as he's been, and the first year was great, second year he was hurt, third year obviously is a complete wash. It doesn't make a difference. It made no difference.
He made no impact on winning.
All they do is lose games.
That's it. No impact on winning. What is it, Dave? 4 years consecutive, double-digit loss seasons? 4? At some point, you got to get sick of that as a Giants fan and to sit here and say 3 years after taking Saquon with the second pick that it was the right decision when you got Lamar Jackson, who won an MVP in year two and has done nothing but been in the playoffs since he took over. And then you got Josh Allen, who played at a near MVP level. Both of those guys were on the board when the Giants decided they wanted to select it at 2. They were both there, and you needed a quarterback. How can you sit here and justify the Saquon Barkley pick knowing what those other two players turned into? It sounds absolutely ridiculous.
You can't. It's infuriating. I feel like you guys, just to get us angry.
Would you guys care to guess who was drafted the pick directly after the Giants picked Will Hernandez in the second round?
Oh, God.
Pick 35.
I don't want to do this, Rico. Why do you want to do this to us?
Because he loves it.
Why do you want to do this to us? Why do you enjoy this?
Well, no, I'm just making the point. Like, I mean, again, Saquon Barkley's great. You took him with the second overall pick.
It's going to be I
know who you're about to say. I know who you're about to say. Your favorite player. Go ahead.
You got Nick Chubb went 35.
Yeah.
Nick Chubb. I mean, how's he done?
Pretty damn good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Very, very frustrating. Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Hey, it's Friday. Let's party tonight. Party, baby. It's Friday.
All right, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. It is Friday. And who doesn't love the Friday? I mean, the Wednesday, we can say we like it or we don't. But the Friday, I think everybody's in a good mood on a Friday, right?
You're just a miserable human being if you don't like Friday. You're just miserable.
You're emotionally damaged if you don't like the Friday.
Yeah.
I don't like this Friday. This Friday, I don't like it all.
Why don't you like this Friday?
Because he soiled himself when we played Getting to Know Your Teammate.
Oh,
that's not even soil. That's worse than soil. That was embarrassing.
What'd you go, 1-4?
Yeah, you know I went. Don't ask the question. You know I went 1-4.
Well, I didn't know, actually.
You did know, Dave. You did know.
I didn't. I knew I beat you, and I knew I beat you soundly. I didn't know it was 1-4. That's terrible.
It's horrendous. Horrendous.
It's a really bad record in the game.
That's embarrassing.
So now you sit in last place all by yourself.
All by my lonesome. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
life is so good. It's really a shame for you. Yeah, this could be. You know what's emotional? Dominating you. Guests on DCR appear via the Goodyear Hotline.
I hope you get attacked by a bobcat at some point today.
No, you wouldn't. If I actually got attacked by a bobcat, you'd feel awful.
No.
Yeah. Come on. What?
No. What you're doing right now is the equivalent of the boat trip. Whatever happens next, you deserve.
If I got attacked by a bobcat, you would not feel badly about it.
No, not even as long as you were okay.
What the hell is wrong with you?
You're being a jerk right now to me.
I understand I'm being a jerk, but that doesn't mean that you wish a wild animal to attack me.
I didn't say gore you to death. I just said attack you a little bit.
So if I had a...
Rough him up a little bit, Rico.
Rough him up a
bobcat attacks me, it takes my pinky finger on my left hand and runs.
You'll be
and
fine.
And it never gets reattached. I never see it again. Would you be okay with that?
Yeah, yes. You'll be fine. Ronnie Lott's been living without a pinky finger for years. You'll be fine.
It doesn't affect your life at all.
Yeah.
Honestly,
won't miss it.
Both of you are so damaged and disturbed. I can't believe you would sign up for this. I would never want either of you to be maimed.
I think it makes you more interesting if you had one pinky.
Yes.
It's a good story.
It's an icebreaker. We're doing him a favor. Yeah.
I'm helping.
Great. So I go to a bar and it's like, hey, why don't you have a pinky? Well, let me tell you, my friend wished a bobcat would attack me and in fact it did. And now I've got nine fingers.
I hope you get attacked by a bobcat. I do. I really do.
I stand by that. You want it to happen?
Yeah, I stand by it. I might go. I swear to God. I'm going to buy a bobcat.
I swear to God, if a bobcat winds up in my yard, I will get a cheetah and leave him in your yard. You want to start this game?
Where are you just going to get a cheetah from,
I'll call
Dave.
Joe Exotic, and I'll get a cheetah, and I will leave it in your yard.
Oh, that's the bobcat!
So help me God. If I even see any wild animal this weekend, I'm coming right to your house.
I'm going to punt those suckers all
I'll
over.
I'll raise you a Carole Baskin. How's that? You saw what happened to her husband.
Yeah,
I'll raise you a Carole Baskin.
I don't think anybody saw what happened to her husband. That's the point.
Poor guy. Can't believe you. Attacked by a bobcat. You're a horrendous guy. Let's go to... I got to go to somebody because I just hate you right now. We're going to Jesse
cool
in Jersey.
Cats and kittens.
Good morning, Jesse. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. I'm happy to be with you this morning. Usually I catch the podcast because I'm not up early, but I am today.
Great.
So I wanted to say that by no means do I think Dave Gettleman has done a bang-up job at all, but I do think he's been unfairly judged. And I'm an educator, so let me put this to you this way. Let's say you're a principal, and at the end of 6 months, you got to give a bonus to who you think is the better teacher. They're both seventh grade teachers. Teacher one has a student that is reading at the sixth grade level, and at the end of 6 months, they're reading at the seventh grade level. Now they're on grade level. Teacher two has a student that's reading at the second grade level, and at the end of 6 months, this student is at the sixth grade level. Who do you give the bonus to?
I give the bonus to the second teacher, but I don't think the analogy is anywhere near something that I would put on this thing.
I think so. I think that people don't really take into account where the Giants were when Dave Gettleman became the GM, and they just look at where are the Giants now. And they just say, well, the student is still reading at the sixth grade level. He's still below level. He hasn't done a good enough job. But when you really think about where the Giants were when Dave Gettleman took over, like they were horrible. After all those terrible drafts from Jerry Reese, they had no depth. They had no line.
How good were they last year, Jesse? Jesse, how good were the Giants last year? Were they reading at a sixth grade level, or were they in a horrendous? It's like they were in an awful class, and they were the best reader there, or the second best reader in that class.
I get that, but forget where the class was. Go a little bit deeper. Yes, the record wasn't good, but the Giants last year, in the middle of the year, you guys, especially you, Dave, they overachieved. They were much, much better than we thought they would be. Daniel Jones gets hurt at the end of the year, didn't really pan out the way he wanted to. But right now, when people look at the Giants, you definitely see that they're going in the right direction. We like Coach Judge. We're not really sure. We're still thinking about what we're going to do. Daniel Jones, is he not? But when we look at what happened in free agency last year, nobody thought Bradbury would be what he was. Nobody thought Blake Martinez would be what he was. Nobody thought guys like Kyler Fackrell and you know, the likes of those guys would play to the level that they played at. So I think that they're in a better position than we're looking at. But not again.
Yeah, but
not
Jesse, you don't even. But Jesse, here's the thing. Jesse, but Jesse, I mean, we're still trying to figure out if they can read or not. Like, we're still figuring. Like, Daniel Jones needs. We need to figure out if he can play quarterback or not. Otherwise, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and you're talking about Dave Gettleman's best moves being free agents, not draft picks. Like at some point, you're going to have to draft well in order to have sustained success. That's what got Jerry Reese in trouble with the Giants. But in looking at both general managers and how the Giants were when Dave Gettleman took over, I mean, Jerry Reese had three double-digit loss seasons this decade, and so has Dave Gettleman. So I mean, I don't know that you can point to anything that Dave Gettleman has done outside of hiring Joe Judge and say, yeah, this is the guy that we've got confidence in that's going to put the pieces in place to make us a consistent winner. I don't know how you can sit here today and say that.
And Jesse, what you just said is more. Jesse, time out for 1 second. You're making more of a case for the coaching staff than you are the GM.
Yeah.
The reason why the players overachieve is because when they were signed, you didn't think they were great, but with that coaching staff, they became really good players. That's the coaching staff. That's not Dave Gettleman.
Gettleman's best move by far and away is hiring Joe Judge. It's not
Joe
even
Judge
close.
Was a great hire. Was a great hire. And listen, how do you build teams in the NFL? You don't build them through free agency. I'm sorry. You don't do it. You build them through the draft, and he's not drafted well.
He hasn't drafted well, Dave. And quite frankly, it shouldn't be hard to identify good players in free agency because you've seen them in the NFL for 3 or 4 years. Shouldn't be that hard, right, Dave? That shouldn't be hard. Drafting players and projecting what guys will be, knowing what their ceilings are, knowing what their floors are, and how they're going to fit into your locker room, and how they're going to adjust to the step up in competition, that's where the real work is done if you're a general manager. And Dave Gettleman hasn't been good at his job. There's nothing wrong with coming out and saying that. You can still be a fan of the Giants and acknowledge that their general manager needs to be better. Hell, the owner is doing it. I don't understand why the fans want to live in this delusional reality. Dave Gettleman is not a good GM. And this NFL.com list has him appropriately rated.
22 of 23. So I stumbled upon this article, and I think it's interesting. Another person, but this is a little bit closer to home, really defending Sam Darnold. I don't know if you guys saw this. Ryan Khalil, who of course played for the Jets in 2019, said he believes former Jets head coach Adam Gase's schemes really bear a lot of the responsibility for the lackluster results. He says, quote, "It was a system that didn't allow a lot of individual freedom. It was very, you do it this way, and that's the only way you're allowed to do it." He goes on to say, a lot of the scheme was predetermined based on what they thought they were seeing from the sideline. It didn't give Sam a lot of room to grow, in my opinion, to make decisions on the fly. It worked in some instances, but it handicapped him in the long run. It wasn't a system that allowed him to evolve and make decisions on his own. I think that was the hardest thing, and I think that's why ultimately the Jets made some coaching changes too. So Ryan Khalil, who was very close here, obviously, and knows a lot more than we do, says a lot of it has to go on the coaches, which is why there's this expectation that Darnold's going to wind up in Carolina and play really, really well.
Yeah, I think this just reinforces what we already knew, is that Adam Gase was an awful coach. But we saw instances like that where it's like, I mean, we're sitting there going, well, why doesn't Sam audible out of this play? Like, why doesn't he keep
Monday night game ready? Against the Patriots when they got everybody at the line of scrimmage? Why are you running something different? Where's the hots in this play? Like, why isn't he getting the ball out of his hands a lot quicker than it is? Now we know the answer to that question.
Because Adam Gase was the smartest guy in the room always.
It had to be.
But I go back to the decision to hire Adam Gase. If you're Chris Johnson, what were you thinking?
It's the eyes.
It's the eyes.
Well, on top of the fact, too, that you don't fire Maccagnan, too. I mean, that would have been one of the reasons why I fired Maccagnan, too. I mean, he ended up doing it anyway. But, I mean, you're sitting there, you were afraid to do both. Because you were new to it. You didn't want to have to look for a GM and a head coach, which I guess I can understand.
Oh, they handled so poorly, though. Come on.
No, you're right. But again, like the same reason why I said when you interviewed Matt Rhule and you said, hey, we're only going to hire you if you have, you know, Greg Williams is your DC and some other guys that we'd like to handpick for you. The second he said no, if I'm the owner, I'm like, okay, I think I like this guy a lot. This is our guy. And then the second, Mike Maccagnan. If you're the owner and you fall in love with Adam Gase and the recommendation from the GM is somebody else other than Adam Gase, you think that relationship is going to be a great relationship?
No.
No. It was doomed from the start.
Doomed from the start. Let's go to Kenny in Astoria. Kenny, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. How you doing today?
We're very well.
Fantastic. How you doing?
Good. Doing great. What do you think of Trevor Lawrence not wanting to go to Jacksonville and the Jets putting a little package together to get him?
It's not
going to
happen.
He's going to Jacksonville.
Yeah, he's going to Jacksonville.
It's the reason why Urban Meyer came out of retirement.
Right, and a little package, you'd have to.
This would have to put a humongous package.
A whopping package together.
Thanks for ruining my weekend, guys. I appreciate it.
You're going to get Zach Wilson. They love Zach Wilson.
They're in love with Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Trevor Lawrence?
Of course I would.
You'd probably sleep better at night if it was Trevor Lawrence.
Of course I would.
You had to go win a couple football games.
I'm not even a Jets fan, and I would have loved it if Trevor Lawrence came to New York.
It would have been so good. I would have liked it. I would have been scared to death.
Really?
You get Daniel Jones. Have some faith. Get a really good GM.
This is why. And Chris,
he's a bad guy. He's a bad guy, Dave.
Because I can't live in a world where he has this over me.
Yeah. Yeah. You should drop a horse-sized duck over in his backyard this weekend.
See, I wouldn't do that.
You should do it.
I would not. Until I see the bobcat at my home, all bets are off with Rick's home. But once I do see that, some kind of tenacious wild animal, look out.
I may go scarier than a bobcat. Now that
I don't know what you could go with scarier than a bobcat.
There's plenty of things.
What?
You don't even want to know what I'm looking at right now.
God. You know what?
There's not a shred of doubt in my mind that that lady's husband is Tiger Sashimi right now.
Turned me into Tiger Sashimi.
I could buy Belle the Bobcat right now.
You can buy a bobcat?
Oh, yeah. I can buy a Siberian Lynx, a bobcat, whatever I want.
From where?
Amazon?
I can tell you that.
Amazon.
You can buy anything on
Amazon.
Your
bobcat's here.
The bobcat marketplace on Amazon is booming.
Oh, my God. That's terrifying. Let's go to Ira, our buddy in Staten Island. Good morning, Ira.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good morning, fellas. Yeah, you were talking about the Ryan Khalil comments. You know, it's amazing. All the years that I'm following just football, you know, I've seen some bad coaches, and, you know, everybody gets on Kotay, but Adam Gase Thompson, he was totally lost. And, I mean, you know, forget what he did with Sam. Look what he did with the quarterback rotation this year. I mean, he's continuously running Frank Gore. Meanwhile, we got Ty Johnson, Perrine, and Josh Adams, all younger, faster, and you saw evident in the Oakland game when these guys were able to run the ball. But he goes right back to Frank Gore. But it's past tense, good riddance. You know, I wish him well. But, you know, a lot of the failures over the last 2 years was because of Gase and how Chris Johnson was sold a bill of goods on him. To this day, I'll just never understand it.
God, there are so many things I could buy right now to attack you with.
Didn't you hear what Ira had to say?
No, I wasn't paying attention.
It's not focused.
What could you purchase right now?
I mean, you name it.
Is this legal?
Of course it's legal. I guess
what
so.
Mean, of course it's
he said,
legal.
Of course it is. I guess so.
I could buy a wolf.
A wolf?
I got a wolf I'm looking at. I mean, you name it. I could buy a bison.
A bison?
You could buy a hedgehog.
And you can get it delivered to my home?
Oh, yeah, right to your house.
See, a bison would be enormous, but I don't think it'd be as terrifying as some of the other things.
I think you go with the wolf, Rico.
I think the wolf
could be a savage.
I think I do, too. And I don't feed it for a couple days, and then I just I strategically place meat around the Rothenburg estate.
Yes,
Go ahead, do it. I swear to God, you will have an amount of snakes not even countable around your home.
There's so many things I could buy right now to attack you with. I could get a male wallaby named Cindy.
Wallaby.
What's a wallaby? Isn't that
like a kangaroo
kicked you in your chest?
That's scary. My kids would probably love that. Watch out for the kangaroo,
Dave. The kangaroo is dangerous.
I'm looking at his claws right now.
Yeah,
this thing would
watch out for the kangaroo. Don't sleep.
Goodbye, lemurs.
I'm not scared of a lemur.
A kinkajou. I'm not sure what that is, but it's
no
dangerous.
Idea.
God, there's so many things I could buy right now to attack you with. I might buy everything. Be like Noah's Ark when you walk out.
I have
out.
A petting zoo over at my house. Huh?
Of deadly animals.
Oh, man.
I may ship up the alpacas.
Yankees. You're just going to take money and throw it at the problem instead of really getting to the crux of what the issue is, and that is you lost again to me and getting to know your co-host.
I don't care what Dr. J says. I'm going to buy my revenge. That's what I'll do. I will buy my revenge.
You're this close from evil. You and evil are brethren right now.
Listen, whatever it takes to get back at you,
clearly
mocking me for the entirety, entirety of the show.
How about show a little Trevor Lawrence kind of resolve and go out there and try and win?
No, I can't. Well, see, unlike Trevor Lawrence and what his dad, I can't walk away from this.
He's
going to
hang on the rim until we play this game again next week, Rico.
I know he is.
Yeah.
I'm getting text messages from buddies.
Week.
I got the fight already set up. Adam's ready to go once Dave's ready to step in the ring. He's all fired up. He can't wait to beat down Dave.
Good. Bring it on.
Dave prides himself on football picks. Has lost back-to-back years.
Back-to-back
years. I don't know, Rico. After this week's news, we might want to see if we can get Aaron Donald to stand in.
No.
Oh, I would love that.
Donald.
It doesn't matter. Love
the guy just said heavyweight. Me. Didn't say who the heavyweight was.
The week after the fight, I should take the week off because I'd probably be in the hospital. Maybe I'll bring one of your wild animals with me.
Emotional support animal?
I'm looking at a camel right now. I got a pair of camels.
There is no way you can buy a camel and have
it delivered to my home. I can buy a camel right now. 5-year-old camels.
How much?
Amira and Kid Rock.
How much are they?
And Amira's pregnant. I can buy you a pregnant camel.
You can buy camels?
I can buy camels.
How much is a pregnant camel to purchase?
I got a call if interested.
Also doesn't even.
That's in Tennessee.
Oh my goodness.
That one's in Tennessee.
Why is there a pregnant camel in Tennessee?
That's
a great question.
For sale.
Why?
Yeah, this is wild stuff.
Oh my goodness.
They do great again. Apparently they do great with other animals because they've been raised around zebras, pigs, horses, and dogs.
Oh, no, that's nice.
Yeah, that's okay. Nice. They fit right into the family. Imagine if I sent you camels.
Do you know you can actually, there's a site where you can actually send feces to someone else's home?
Like I have
anonymously.
Seen that. Yeah.
I'm serious.
No, I know. I've considered it. I might do that to you. We tried doing that where you feces. Where you light the poop on fire on someone's porch and they put it out, but it didn't work. They just left it there.
What a surprise that you've done.
We had to go shoot the poop. We had to go sweep the poop off.
Great.
It backfired terribly.
You guys really are unbelievable. All right, Santa, you have a lot to choose from today.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
Yeah, no fooling. A lot to choose from. So, Dave, I am going to give you the third star for the dominating performance, as it were.
You know what's emotional? Right. Dominating you.
Life is so good. What was it? Nine in a row on getting to know you. And listen,
right.
It's not
just
like
keep feeding his ego.
It's not like I need to tell. No, listen, it's not like
keep
I need to
me.
Tell.
Tell me more. I didn't hear you. What my connection?
It's
cut out.
Not
what did you say?
Like I need to tell you to be proud of yourself because you're going to be proud of yourself regardless. But you can enjoy this a little
should
bit.
Should I not be
that
proud of myself?
That being said,
for the
there's two more stars to get to. So
number two
is going to be the guy who saved his wife from the bobcat. I don't know his name. I don't know where this happened. But that was a big part of the show because it led to
number one.
Basically, the entire animal kingdom coming at you today.
How did you get attacked by a bobcat? God, there are so many things I could buy right now to attack you with.
I'm going to pull off a Lawrence Tynes. I'm going to punt those suckers all over the place.
Horse-sized ducks, duck-sized horses, bobcats, jaguars, cheetahs. Talking about camels, pregnant camels, animals that I'm not even sure are legal to sell, but a lot of content today on a Friday, which I thoroughly enjoyed, and I hope the listeners did as well.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
I still think you guys are crazy not going with the 100 duck-sized horses.
I got to tell you, people don't say strong as a duck, healthy as a duck. Even if it's just 100 small horses, they're going to do damage to you. They're going to do more damage to you than the duck will.
It's a muscular animal. I don't think you want to fight 100 little horses.
As far as I know, the duck doesn't have any claws or hard body.
It has a beak. It has a beak. You don't think the beak is hard?
I think the horse hoof would hurt more than the beak.
Oh, the horse hoof, if it's the size of a duck's foot, stop.
Chris, I want you to spend the weekend thinking about this. Much like Rick will, how badly he got defeated.
It's a terrible take by you guys. You guys are all wrong.
I think you're making a monumental mistake. All right, so KJZ coming your way in just a moment. They're going to get into this Dr. J comments and the Nets and not playing to win that game and if they're trying to buy a championship and all that good stuff. But Rick, chew on it, my friend. Chew on the fact that once again, I beat you in getting
life is so good.
Your co-host. Enjoy it and send the llama over to my house. It's Rule 76.
I'm sending wolves. No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DPH O'Kathy Rothenberg and
hey, everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.